1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. For to this you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, who being reviled was not reviling in return. While suffering, he was uttering no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Previously in our study on 1 Peter, we were taught how we are called to subject ourselves to all human authorities, even while suffering. We were taught to suffer even under those who are crooked, those who mistreat us, and those who cause sorrow and unrighteous suffering, and those who treat us harshly. In obedience to these fallen men, we live out our position as slaves of God, rather than using our freedom from condemnation and punishment as covering to free us to live in rebellion and sin. See verse 16. So now, let's continue this study of righteous suffering with our first lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, which says, "To this you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." In this verse, called is the Greek word kaleo, which is used at times to give a name for someone, such as in Luke 1:60, which says, "He shall be called John." That's the word kaleo. Yet at other times, kaleo can be used to summon someone to a person or a place. In our case, true believers are being summoned to suffer willingly and righteously. In addition, we are also being called to follow in the steps of Jesus, like a disciple who is taught to imitate the teacher and become like him. In other words, a true believer is summoned to suffer. He is at the same time summoned to suffer in a way that conforms to the pattern of Jesus' suffering. So let's dig into the study of his example of righteous suffering. The first characteristic of Jesus' example from 1 Peter 2 is how he suffered at the hands of sinners, yet he, quote, did not sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. This comes from verse 22. Well, at first glance, this seems to refer to Jesus' actions during his suffering. We learn something important by letting Scripture interpret Scripture. In your Bible, this verse may be in all caps. This is an indicator to the reader that it is the quoting of another passage of Scripture. Here again, we're reminded of how the believers of the New Testament did not abandon the Old Testament, but actually taught from it and expounded on it. Let us never abandon the Old Testament as well, as if it were abolished or annulled, which Jesus says it is not. According to Jesus, there will be reward in heaven for those who keep the commandments and teach others to do the same. Check out Matthew 5:19. Letting Scripture interpret Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, ought to be seen through its prophecy and what it quotes from Isaiah 53:9. There, it is given as a reason for Jesus' grave of the rich man Joseph of Arimathea after his death. It answers the question of why one who died a wicked criminal's death, like Jesus, would be in a rich man's tomb. The prophecy of Isaiah 53:9 teaches us that it's because of Jesus' righteousness, not only in his suffering, but actually in all of his living. So in the context of the theme of 1 Peter 2, we're being taught that Jesus, who was perfectly innocent, suffered under the hands of sinful men as if he were wicked. In other words, Jesus' suffering was unjust and wrongful. This is the meaning of verse 22. This is the example we are to follow in Jesus. To be sure, the suffering we endure and are called to is always unjust. To not give any reason by our sin or rebellion to cause us suffering as a punishment. This is our call to suffer without just cause on our part. That is one characteristic of righteous suffering. The second characteristic of the example we are to follow is in how Jesus, being reviled, was not reviling in return. While suffering, he was uttering no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This comes from 1 Peter 2:23. Here we think of our Savior and teacher teaching in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." He said, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus lived this out as a perfect example of righteous suffering. How do we respond then when others revile us? Do we revile in return, or do we hold our tongues? Do we slander and insult them in our thoughts? Because such thoughts are just as sinful as murder, according to Jesus. And here in verse 23, we are given the greatest antidote to our sinful tendency to personally apply the principle of an eye for an eye. Now, a side note, the eye for an eye principle was given by Yahweh for the judges of the land to enforce justice. It was never given for personal vindication. So Jesus was actually correcting this error when he was teaching on this Old Testament law. Now, what is the antidote of our sinful desire for personal vindication and taking justice into our own hands? Not simply a command not to revile those who revile us, not simply a command not to utter threats at those who threaten us, but the example of Jesus who was entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. In other words, Jesus had every right and authority to bring justice on those who hurt him, but instead he suffered willingly and righteously. Why? We're told because he placed trust in the justice of the one who will show no partiality. This is the call to suffer righteously through faith. The third characteristic of righteous suffering that we are called to follow is found in how Jesus himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live to righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. Verse 24. Here we have much we could learn, such as Jesus taking the punishment of our sin on himself. Also called substitutionary atonement. That is, that Jesus suffered because he took our place. Jesus took our sin on the cross. Why? So that we might live to righteousness, verse 24 tells us. In other words, we suffer righteously without uttering complaints, without slander, without bringing justice on our oppressors. Why? Because Jesus suffered and died for us in our place. Because he healed us from the justice we deserve. If we understand the grandeur of the great gift of mercy and grace of healing from our sin, we will know that in our sin we deserve all suffering and even hell, and that any good that we do receive is only because of his work on the cross. Thus, all hardship ought to be received in humility and gratefulness. For although we deserve more hardship than what we will receive, those of true faith will never experience it all. And this is the call to righteous suffering with humility. The fourth characteristic of righteous suffering that we are called to follow is found in 1 Peter 2:25. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That is to say, before faith in Jesus, you went astray and you went your own way. You had no shepherd to lead and guide you on the right way. You had no overseer, which is another word for a guardian who's responsible for you and watches over you. Therefore, when we went our own way, it would have been expected that we would sin in response to suffering and protect ourselves from suffering by bringing a penalty on those who harmed us. Yet now, as true disciples and followers of Jesus, we are under his authority. We're under his guiding lordship. That is, we have been given much more than just following his example of rightly suffering. We are to follow his command to walk in this way because he has that authority over us. A shepherd in this way leads his sheep to what is best for them. So too, the great shepherd of his true sheep lead them away from retaliation and slander of mistreatment from sinful men. He leads his sheep to go even to the slaughter willingly. To suffer just as a lamb before its shearers is silent. Now, we must take a brief moment to understand this verse in view of the rule of faith, Scripture interpreting Scripture. We must see this verse in agreement with other teachings, such as that of 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through 26. There is taught that the Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. In other words, while a true believer must suffer like a lamb going to the slaughter, he still defends the truth of God's word with righteous correction. Error and the sin of others is to be biblically dealt with, in the hopes that perhaps God may give them repentance, leading them to the full knowledge of the truth. Check out 2 Timothy 2:25. So we must see between these two texts the distinction made between righteously suffering silently and the sin of silently allowing God's word to suffer abuse. We're always to be watchmen, like it says in Ezekiel 33, who gently correct those who are in opposition. One pastor said it in this way, We're to be like sheep when we're under personal attack, and we're to be like lions when we defend God's word and God's ways. Application. Do I suffer silently like Jesus did? Do I wrongfully attempt to give people what they deserve? Do I righteously suffer and trust those who wrong me into the hands of the righteous judge of us all? Do my thoughts and my words reflect Jesus' example of not reviling, not slandering, or not threatening those who do wrong to me? Am I following Jesus' example in these ways? If not, it is sin. Also, we can ask ourselves, am I following Jesus as my Lord, who has given me the same marching orders that he lived by? And then last, do I correct those in sin and error, boldly, but with gentleness, for God's glory? Let's pray. Father, I confess that I have fallen into our culture's victim and oppressor mentality. I've spent too much time thinking about what others have done to me or said to me. I place those people and those events into your hands. I know you are the righteous judge, and I know you will grant them either the punishment they deserve or by your grace will lead them to repentance. By the power of your Spirit living in me, because of the work of your Son and paying for my sins, lead me every day on the same path as Jesus. Lead me to suffer silently and righteously like a lamb under all personal attacks. Keep me from defending myself. At the same time, give me the wisdom when I ought to speak up and defend you and your word and your ways like a lion, so that in all of my life, you will be the one to receive all of the glory. Amen.